إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers, over the last 2-3 days we have been talking about the role of dua and the role of taqwa in the acceptance of dua. And then we spoke about the role of taqwa in tawakkul, on reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I gave you the example of this taqwa, I gave you the example of standing in the sun. When you are illuminated by the light of the sun, number one, nothing is in darkness. Everything becomes clear. And that's like hidayah. You have everything is clear in front of you. Number two, the direct light of the sun on you creates its own effect. You feel the warmth of the sun. And you can feel the warmth of the sun only if you are in the sun. And to feel the warmth of the sun and to get the benefit from the sun, to get benefited from sunlight, you don't have to know about the sun. You have to be in sunlight. And the third thing I mentioned was that when you say, I feel the effect of sunlight, if you say, I feel anything, feeling is a factor of change. You only feel when there is a change. Whether it is internally, you feel love for somebody when there is a change in you. You're sitting there looking at the scenery, then somebody who you love comes in front of you, there's a change in you. So you feel that love. You feel anger when somebody else comes in front of you. So the feelings, any feeling, whether it's what you feel inside or whether it's something which is related to your senses, is a factor of change. So when you are in the sun, you feel the warmth of the sun is changing you. I want to give you a fourth example, which is what happens if you, even though there is sunlight, you go and stand under a tree. What happens then? Immediately you are deprived of the benefit of the sunlight, because you are in shade. So if you allow anything to come between you and the sun, it creates darkness, it creates shade. It prevents you from benefiting from the effect of sunlight. Now take this example, Ta'ala Allahu al-Amsal, we don't give the example of Allah, but take this example to understand the issue of taqwa. A muttaqi is one who is standing in sunlight. A muttaqi is one who is standing with the awareness that he is before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lights the path of the muttaqi. He gives him hidayah with his light. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us and said that Allah is the nur of the heavens and the earth. So Allah guides the muttaqi because of his taqwa, because he is standing in the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he is in the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, because of this light, like the warmth of the sun, the muttaqi has complete peace of mind. There is no fear in his heart because his heart is filled with the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. So there is no fear. He does not fear the world. He does not fear circumstances. He does not fear the powers that be. He doesn't fear hunger. He doesn't fear any kind of difficulty because he knows he is in the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the dua of the muttaqi because he is directly connected with Allah. And that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Udu'uni. Allah said, ask me. And therefore the muttaqi is in, his dua is accepted. The muttaqi therefore also has tawakkul because he is aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is aware of the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can he not have tawakkul? So he has tawakkul, he has reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the reason why the muttaqi is always afraid of any shade, anything coming between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what do you call this? What is the shari'i istilah of something which comes between Allah and yours and yourself? Shirk. Shirk is that shade which is coming between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment you have shirk, the moment you have somebody in between intervening, the light of the sun is cut off. the light of the sun is cut off. And you start feeling cold, and you start feeling fear, and you start feeling hunger, and you start feeling all kinds of things, and tawakkul goes. Please understand, tawakkul is the symbol of the Anbiya, alayhimus salam. Remember, it's not a question of what is jais and what is not jais. And this is where sometimes I tell people, your ilm will take you into Jahannam. Your knowledge, your ilm will take you into Jahannam, because your ilm makes you give excuses for things which you really should not be getting excuses for. So beware of that, beware of that. The purpose of ilm is to take us into Jannah, not the other way around. So people sometimes say, but you know, it is jais to do this. It's not a question of jawaz. For example, if you are hungry and you have no means, and 2-3 days pass, then begging is jais. But show me a Nabi who begged. Show me a Nabi who begged people for food. Do you know of any Nabi who was a beggar? Do you also know of any Nabi who did not have trials and tribulations? Do you know of any Nabi who did not suffer from hunger? Do you know of any Nabi who did not have lack of wealth? Illa mashallah, except for Sulaiman alayhi salam and Dawood alayhi salam. They were Anbiya, and the best of them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They did not have oil to light a lamp in their house when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is passing away, when he is dying. Sayyid Aisha radiallahu anha says, they were sometimes a whole month would pass, not 1 or 2 days. The whole month would pass, and we would not light the stove. Whole month. So they said, how did you eat? How did you survive? She said, on the 2 black things. What is that? She said, dates and water. Why is the water black? If the water is in a pot and you look at it, it looks like it is black. But did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever beg? So it's not a question of jais or not jais. It's a question of tawakkul on Allah. The one who has tawakkul on Allah, the one who has taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know what he thinks? He says, if I go and ask people, this is a reflection on my Rabb. What is the first thing people are going to say? Hari Allah wala mangta hai. हमारी उर्दू में बोल सकते हैं, इंग्लिश, देयर इज नो इंग्लिश फॉर दिस. ही सेड, अल्लाह वाला मांगता है. ही सेड, अ मैन ऑफ अल्लाह विल आस्क. व्हाट हैपेंड टू अल्लाह? इट्स नॉट अ क्वेश्चन ऑफ जवाज. इफ योर सन गोज एंड बेग समबडी, इफ योर सन कम्स टू मी, इवन दो आई एम, यू नो, हफीज भाई इज अ डियर फ्रेंड ऑफ माइन. His son can come and ask me for anything, I don't mind giving it. But if his son comes to me and he says, there is no food in the house, can you give me food? What is the first thought in my mind? Hey, what happened to your father? You know why the Anbiya never begged? You know why anyone who has tawakkul will never ask anybody except his Rabb? Because he does not want anything to reflect back on his Rabb. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. There's a beautiful story about 3 students among the Tabi'in. They went to Baghdad to study hadith. And they originally thought that, you know, they said, well, we'll study and one of us will work and we'll get enough money to feed ourselves, but it so happened nobody got any work, and they would go every day and study and come back home and sleep hungry. 2 days passed, 3 days passed. So on the 4th day, they said, well, this is now got to a point where it is jais to beg. We have no alternative. There is no job. We want to work, but no one gives us any work. And we still have to study. We can't leave the studies. So it is jais to go in the street and beg. But who will do it out of the three? No one wants to do it. So they drew, you know, lots. So the thing came to one of them. So the other two said, now this is yours. So we go to the class and we will bring the notes for you to study in the night. And during the day you beg and get some food. When we come back, there should be some food to eat. They went. Now this one, he thought to himself, it is jais for me to beg. But there is no one who says that I have to beg the people. Why should I beg the people? So he locked his door from inside and he made salah and he started making dua. He said, oh Allah, I came here to study your deen. You promised to feed me, so feed me. Towards the evening, somebody hammered on the door. When the man opened the door, there is a messenger from the king, from the Khalifa. And the man said, are you so and so? He said, yes. He said, the king has sent his food and he has sent his money for you. So the man said, who is the king? I don't know the king. How did this come? He said, the king fell asleep and he had a dream. And it was revealed to this king in this dream that you are in this particular place and that he should help you. And the king has said this. My purpose here is not to mention karamat and so on and so forth. Alhamdulillah, we believe in karamat. Karamat comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My purpose is to try to explain and try to get this into your hearts. Never to ask anyone other than Allah. Get this into your system. Never to ask anyone other than Allah. Do not lower the waqar of this deen. Do not lower your own waqar. You are a Muslim. You are a Muslim. Understand who you are. Understand who you are. You are a Muslim. You are a representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth. How can you ask anyone other than Allah? It's not a question of what is jais and what is not jais. Don't allow fiqh to become shirk. Don't use fiqh to come between you and Allah Jalla Jalalu. Forget the fiqh. Do not ask anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. And then you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide. For the one who has taqwa, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ هَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. This is the wa'ad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who has taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will extract him from his difficulties. And he will provide him from sources that he could not even imagine. Unimaginable sources. And the one who has tawakkul on Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become sufficient for him. Reflect on the Quran. Reflect on the words of the Quran. Allah did not say that the one who has tawakkul, Allah will fulfill his needs. Allah did not say this. Think about this. Allah did not say the one who has tawakkul, Allah will fulfill his needs. No. Allah said Allah will become sufficient for him. Allah will fulfill his needs. This is understood. Allah will then use him to fulfill the needs of others. Allah will use that person to be a means for khair for the whole of the world. That is the meaning of Allah will become sufficient for him. What is the meaning of Allah will become sufficient when it's a matter of just me, my individually, or you, or my belly, or your belly, or your family, or my family? You don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to become sufficient for one individual. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become sufficient means what? Means everything of yours understood. This has to happen. Plus, Allah will make you do what He sent you to do. When an ambassador of a country comes to another country, he presents his credentials to the president of that country, the prime minister of that country. What does it mean? It means that he is coming and declaring, I am the representative of this country in your land. What does it mean? It means that my country is behind me. Why don't you see ambassadors in any country, even ambassadors of poor countries? Why don't they live in a two-bedroom flat? Have you ever seen an ambassador's residence, a two-bedroom apartment, because the country is poor? Have you ever seen this? No. They all live in a big house, in big houses. Why? Because it's not about the ambassador. It is about his country. It's about his country. If the ambassador is walking on the street begging people, he is lowering the vakar of his country. People will say, who is this man? Oh, he is the ambassador of such and such a country. La hawa la quwwata illa billah. They send the man as an ambassador, they can't even take care of him. He has to have his own shop, he has to beg people, he has to ask people to give him something. Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow this to happen? What is our belief about Allah? Wallahi. Seriously ask yourself, who do you think Allah is? Who do you think Allah is? What is your belief about Allah that you ask people for doing the work of the deen? Seriously ask yourself this question. So taqwa is the prerequisite for tawakkul. And the one who has tawakkul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes sufficient for him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us taqwa and to give us tawakkul and to illuminate our lives with his noor and to take away all our difficulties and all our problems and to use us for the sake of his deen until the last breath in our bodies. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَةً